are the people are buying into the idea that mobility and expertise is a critical part of the science return. So.
Okay, great. It's good to have all this interaction between speaker and audience. And just about rovers, we do have a special presentation at the end of the session, probably roughly around 11:30, of Matt Deans, Pascal Lee, who are doing some new work, ongoing work on reconnaissance rovers. And so that'll be added to the schedule. So stay around. Also, just remind you, have a poster up here for the FEET meeting this evening at 7:30, 8:30. You can pick one up. Okay, our next speaker, our next presentation is going to be by Jose Hurtado of the University of Texas at El Paso. And his co-authors are Alice Castle, Sarah Quinoze, and Gary Lofgren. And the title of Jose's presentation is A Video Catalog of the Apollo Field Geologic Activities, a Vital Data Set for the Return to the Moon. So, Jose.
Thank you. I'd like to thank the conveners again for giving me the opportunity to talk today. And I'd like to thank my undergraduates, Alice and Sarah, who's done a lot of the work for this project, and Gary, whose idea this was. I'd also like to acknowledge Jacobs Engineering for some funding and support from NASA and UTEP. So no mission would be complete without a checklist, and here's mine. I just want to briefly talk to you about the Lunar Geologic Activity Catalog Project, which we're doing at UTEP, and a little bit about the Apollo Lunar Surface video, and particularly what we can learn about doing geology on the moon from viewing the video, and I offer some humble recommendations. So the Apollo Lunar Surface video documents the Apollo EVAs, and these EVAs were documented using television cameras. And although there's little footage from Apollo's 11, 12, and 14, Apollo's 15, 16, and 17, the J missions, were extensively documented using a remotely controlled camera mounted on the lunar roving vehicle. UTEP is now working with over 100 hours of newly digitized video of the Apollo 15, 16, and 17 EVAs. We also have some footage from the other missions also. And although there's minimal restoration in terms of video quality that's been done, what we're focusing on is the geologic content of the footage. And in particular, I'll show you some examples of the types of things that we can learn about operationally how geology was done on the moon. And currently we're completing work on Apollo 15. This just shows a picture of the Apollo lunar roving vehicle, and this is the camera mounted on the front. And this was remotely controlled from Houston, not by the astronauts themselves. So the Lunar Geologic Activity Catalog that we're working on has dual purpose. First, it's an exercise in curation of the video, and mainly what we're doing is a compilation exercise at UTEP. We're basically taking the video, editing it, adding narration, adding still photography of the samples and of the activities on the moon, and producing a document, a video document, a multimedia document that provides context for the Apollo samples and photography. And we're also hoping that this material will be useful as potential training material for future lunar crews. And this is the website for our project. And so what we're producing are some interactive multimedia products, including DVDs, and we're working with Gary Lofgren on completing Apollo 15 right now. And so we're going to have chapters for each EVA, for each station at each EVA, again, complete with narration. A lot of the material is being taken from the literature, from the Apollo Lunar Surface Journal, and those sort of sources. We're also producing what's called a digital dynamic map. That's basically a digital map, including some remotely sensed imagery, links to the video, links to the photography, and this will be available on the web. And we're also posting some video to sites like YouTube as part of our project. What I want to share with you today, though, is a little bit of analysis and thinking that was inspired by the video in terms of what we can learn about doing lunar field work. And the footage documents some real-world examples of some issues that are going to come up that will arise during lunar field work in the future. And they include these three sort of general categories. I'm only going to speak in the interest of time about the first two, human-equipment interactions, the performance of humans in spacesuits doing geology on the moon. There's some mission personnel interactions that are illustrated by the video. And together, these suggest some future strategies and technologies that might be used to address some of these issues. So I'm tempting fate, and since this is a video project, I'm including video in my presentation, so hopefully it'll work. The first few clips I'm going to show you sort of illustrate some of these issues. Let's see if this does work.
And we've got almost the second course.
So this is Dave Scott and Jim Irwin. These are the astronauts who did the EVAs on Apollo 15 at Hadley Apennine. And video quality is not great here because I had to compress the video for the purpose of presentation. But you can see that Dave is having quite an easy time of hammering in a core sample into this particular area. Unfortunately, they didn't always have such good luck with their equipment. This is Dave Scott again at the ALSEP site, the Apollo Lunar Surface Experiment Package deployment site, and he's having quite a frustrating time with a drill.
It's tightening up again, Joe, and I'm not putting any force on it at all. It pulls itself down in.
So the point here is, and here's a video showing Dave manipulating a camera to try to fix a problem he's having with it. Point here is that just like post-Apollo era astronauts doing EVAs, there are some tasks, in particular those that rely on dexterity with the gloves, that are sort of stationary tasks in one place, that the astronauts were very well suited to and they performed without much difficulty. Same can't really be said to the same extent for geologic type tasks. And what I'm going to show you here is a clip of Dave and Jim collecting a sample, a very simple, basic geologic task that all field geologists do. Dave has to contort himself in order to get down low enough to the outcrop to swing the hammer. You can see him trying to do that here. And so this is a difficulty partly due to the spacesuit, partly due to the gravity environment. And this is an illustration of the real-world experience of doing extraterrestrial field geology that perhaps some of the training here on Earth in simulations and in analog sites might not capture. They almost lost a sample there, and in fact this piece actually almost hit Dave's visor, and so there's even sort of hazard sort of issues that you have to contend with just simple geologic tasks. So this brings me to human performance issues. So I've mentioned the difficulty of performing some geologic tasks on the moon, and this will become especially important if we expand our lunar surface operations to include things like geologic mapping and more elaborate type geologic activities. In addition, mobility in the rough terrain, especially in their spacesuits, led to some difficulty with geologic tasks and also some hazards. But what I want to point out, and what's over and over again illustrated by the video, is the amazing ability of the astronauts to improvise and to come up with innovative solutions on the fly to some of these issues. And so here's Dave and Jim again, and they're doing a very common task on Apollo, collecting a rake sample. So Jim Irwin is on the left, and he's raking the sample, and Dave is on the right, ready to receive the sample in the bag. And partly because of the design of the tools, which did not retract or telescope, they were sort of limited in their mobility again. And you'll see that Dave is about to sort of hunch over in a very awkward position to get low enough in order for the scoop to deposit the material into the sample bag. Here's another example of that, this time on a slope. And so here the topography is playing a role, and you can see Dave's very precariously trying to keep from slipping down slope in this very loose regolith here. And again, there's difficulties brought along by the tools and by the spacesuits that cause difficulty in doing some simple geologic tasks. And in terms of hazards, here's a very common occurrence on some of the Apollo EVAs.
And we have seen to the bottom. I think we'll get a chance to look further down.
Dave. So, don't mean this to be a blooper reel or anything like that, but this just illustrates that the topography can play a role in terms of mobility and perhaps even hazards. You might imagine if a geologist would have taken a hard fall, they could injure themselves. And in this case, I think part of the mitigating circumstances here was the limited visibility in the visor that didn't allow Jim to see that, or Dave to see that rock he tripped over. Now, the main point I want to make here is that the astronauts learned, and all the crews learned, how to improvise. And here's a very good example of that. Again, Jim and Dave collecting a sample.
Dave, could you
So they're using the topography here to their advantage. So one of them is upslope, the other one's downslope, and they're using that relative height difference to avoid having to hunch over and those awkward motions in order to bag the sample. And they're much more successful in doing it this way. So again, an illustration of how on-the-fly thinking and ingenuity is very important in doing real-world planetary geoscience, field geoscience. Going along with that is each astronaut devised their own mode of locomotion. You can contrast here Dave, who went off camera, and then Jim Irwin coming up slope. They're different styles of moving around. Dave Scott with his kangaroo hop and Jim Irwin with his more shuffling mode of motion. So the astronauts were able to contend with these various difficulties. You might ask, well, what's the comparative mobility then of a lunar geologist versus a Martian geologist? If we look at the Apollo landing site, and in yellow are the tracks of the three EVAs done, at the same scale as the Opportunity and Spirit traverses, you can see that in the matter of just a few EVAs of a few hours in length, the astronauts over a few days covered same distances basically that these robotic explorers covered in the span of a couple of years. And so even despite these problems of mobility, the astronauts were quite effective. So some lessons. Moving around, maybe perhaps obviously, and not just locomotion, I might add, was difficult. So not just walking around, but also utilizing tools, doing the types of tasks that field geologists do, it was difficult. There's limitations on the geologic task because of that, and perhaps some potential hazards. The Apollo spacesuit itself posed some of these problems, and with current technology, the new generation of extravehicular mobility units, the spacesuits, may mitigate some of these problems. The main things that the video brings out, though, are two points. One, this human adaptability issue. Basically, the fact that the ingenuity and the on-the-fly thinking of the astronauts is an extraordinary, enormous asset. And the second is that the third-person video record itself is a very useful tool, both operationally and scientifically. Part of the goal of the video project is to compile the video as a context for the samples that were collected. The other way to look at it, and this is where the training comes in, is we can look at it as a third-person objective view of how operationally geoscience was done. And I would advocate including a capability like this on future EVAs, perhaps in a rover, having a remotely controlled or perhaps autonomously controlled camera, or mounting such a camera on a robotic assistant to the astronauts. And here's an example of a case where the video is not as illustrative, precisely because the video wasn't actually tracking the astronauts as they were working.
Bags 188.
So Dave here is describing a rock sample off camera.
Okay, let us go through them, Joe, and we pick them up, because we can't tell any difference as they sit on the surface. They're all covered with dust. And the first one here is a fine-grained breccia.
So you see, without actually seeing anything on camera, it loses a lot. And you can rely on the photography, you can rely on the audio transcript, but without actually seeing the operational context of how the astronauts were collecting the sample, where they were collecting a sample, a lot is lost out of the record, both operationally and scientifically. So recommendations for the future, the lunar roving camera wasn't always pointed at the geologists of the work. And their work. The helmet cam would help, and modern EVA suits do have them, but it wouldn't capture this mesoscale context that I'm talking about. And so this third-person video is important. So it means the difference between, here's a modern shuttle astronaut with the helmet cam on their head. It means the difference between a view sort of like this, where you're basically very limited in the field of view, to a view more like this, where scientists on the ground, those who are going to use the samples, those who are in the back room assisting the astronauts during their EVA, have sort of a broader context for what's happening on the moon, and also for training of future crews. In the remaining time, I just want to offer some other thoughts on possibilities for quantitative analysis using this video data set. Comparative performance and efficiency, some people have been thinking about these issues already, I'm sure. My students and I have done very simple accounting of some of the time spent at a few of the stations here, Station 9A, and The point here is that the astronauts, despite the difficulties I mentioned, were very efficient. More than 85% of the time, or close to 85% of the time, was spent actually collecting or documenting samples. And so the astronauts were very effective. Other possibilities for quantitative analysis using this data set are biomechanics, locomotion, mode of motion, use of tools, ergonomics, and also lunar regolith properties, especially regolith strength and dust entrainment during locomotion, during digging of trenches, during rover activities, and that sort of thing. I want to close with some recommendations for the future, sort of a little bit divorced from the video itself. Whereas Apollo focused on the collection of samples and imagery from very precisely selected sites, future exploration plans are beginning to incorporate longer and longer surface stays, increasing amounts of exploratory work. And these types of investigations are going to require different kinds of training than before. And partly it will be informed by the video and what was done on Apollo, but it's going to require sort of a very different skills or some different skill sets. That legacy was started with Apollo, though, and what I'm going to show you here is a nice video clip of Dave Scott doing some excellent field geology in describing this this particular site. Oops. Go back to that.
Very large boulders with fractures in them, rounded. It's hard to tell whether they're really in place, but they may be in place, covered by talus. And they're about 50% down. Let's see if there's any continuity to it. I can see some suggestions of continuity there. Jim, look about, it looks like the talus of fragments and fines is covering another layer or a suggestion of continuity of outcrops, which are rounded at about the...
So you see, Dave was beginning the process of mapping there. The only thing that was missing was a map board and putting lines on the map. This is the sort of activities we're going to have to do in the future, especially at some of the sites that are amenable to that. So these activities will fundamentally affect training and surface operations, including these issues here. And the main point I want to make is the video contains valuable real lessons and scenarios illustrating some of the challenges and idiosyncrasies of doing planetary fieldwork. And I thank you for your attention.
So any questions for Jose? I might emphasize that people could come down their seats here, so please wander down. Dean?
The one thing I will tell you is that I can do in the Mark III, even though it's heavier, I can do in the Mark III a lot more than the A7LB has done, primarily because we have a joint that lets me bend down and a lot more shoulder mobility. So we have solved some of these problems, and the new suits that will take them will have those.
Well, that's great to hear.
The one thing, though, that the community really has to stay on top of, and that is glove dexterity. And there is a new procurement for suits in the works. It was awarded once. Hopefully it'll get going here again soon. But in the process that NASA has for iterating the suit design, really does have hand dexterity, and all of you need to be thinking about that in the various work that you do with NASA, and directly or indirectly involved in the suit. The films illustrate the difficulty of using those gloves. Now, having said that, there's another issue, and that is conditioning. And even though I think we all thought we were in great condition for lunar EVAs, we were not nearly as well conditioned for EVA work as the space station construction astronauts have been. And having personal trainers and specific work to be in outstanding condition, particularly with respect to the use of the gloves, however good they may become, they're going not to be good enough. That is very, very important. So those two things I would strongly recommend, and I think they've been well illustrated, Jose, by what you shown here with these videos.
Thanks.
It is a resource. Now, I'm curious, I'm curious where you got your raw material for the videos, because that has been an issue since the original tapes have been lost due to deterioration of the...
Yeah, the videos were acquired through JSC. Gary's been very instrumental in helping us get the video. As far as the actual source itself, I think Gary would probably be the best person to ask about that. Where's Gary in the audience?
This is still the Kinescope.
Yeah, the quality is markedly better for Apollo 17. Thanks.
Thank you, Jose. Well, we have two talks before break, and I want to introduce our next speaker. That'll be Harrison H. Jack Schmidt. I think all of you realize about 36 years ago, Jack was a member of the Apollo 17 crew exploring the moon, and has been a while since we've been back. Jack's presentation is Lunar Field Exploration Science.
Thank you, Art. And what are we doing? What I thought I